Well, I'd like you to take your Bibles and meet me in the book of Colossians. I'm working on our next series to cover here in our Sunday morning church messages. But, you know, I got some emails this week that are, they break my heart, but they also give me a purpose to continue sticking with the gospel. You would be surprised at how many people are Bible believers. And what I mean by that is they believe that salvation has been revealed through Christ. It's here in the Bible. And they understand verses that talk about salvation, and they have believed on the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the full payment of their sin. But because of a lack of clear teaching, they are continually in this cycle of there must be one thing, there must be one place, there must be one action that I could say or do or think that would push me outside of this gift of everlasting life that I have received and put me back under condemnation, put me back into a position where God would have to say, you got to get saved all over again. It is so prevalent. I didn't want to reveal some of these emails, but I got six of them this week. And I thought it was so interesting that it happened around this time. Things are changing for a lot of people. Kids are going back to school. Parents are now in a house that sounds like, it's nice. But things are changing now, and schedules are shifting. And I was talking to the teenagers on Thursday. I said, this is the time where it's like you had no structured time, and now everything is structured. They have seven different periods in their schools with seven different teachers and seven different topics and seven different homework assignments. And they only have one period to just kind of relax, and things are now picking up again. And they're forced to look at things from a new perspective, a fresh perspective. But you know what happens after you leave high school and you leave college. You're now living in the world. There's no one to look over you and make sure you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You have the freedom to just not do those things. You have the freedom to do those things. Some people live and lead disciplined lives, and other people don't. And they never really get a hold of how to live a disciplined life. But what's happening for believers is they're never really grasping the completion of their salvation. And I believe it is an active tool of the devil to keep people quiet. Over the past couple of weeks, I've noticed as we are getting closer and closer to the return of Jesus Christ in the event of the rapture, I've noticed that people are just having a hard time accepting what the Bible says about eternal life. In the book of Colossians, I wish we had time to go through all four chapters, but the book of Colossians in chapter 1 and in chapter 2 uses very strong language that I want you to be reassured of. I have this problem all the time, especially with our teenagers, because as they're growing and they're learning the things that they can continue to do, they're really starting to question, is my salvation permanent? Dr. Lindstrom had a great CD, and we still have it, called The Permanence of Your Salvation. How many of you have heard that tape or CD before? It's incredible. It is incredible. It's about an hour long, and he goes through all of the different verses that can give the believer assurance. Now, listen to me closely here. When you believe on Jesus Christ, that he's paid for all your sins, you have eternal life. You can lose your assurance. Hear me when I say that. You can lose your assurance. Your assurance does not depend upon whether you're going to heaven or not. It's like, well, he doesn't have assurance, therefore he's not going to heaven. No, that means he's confused. That means he is steeped in bad teaching or no teaching at all. And it leads to problems. Lack of confidence. There's no way that you're going to grow because you're not realizing all that you have in Christ. So I want you to take your Bibles and look with me here in Colossians chapter 1. We're going to start there in verse 20. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20, this is on page 1263. If you have a church-loaned Bible. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you, that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Stop there. Boy, we could spend 3 weeks unpacking that word by word. But we're just going to take a couple of minutes to look at the guarantee here. Look there in verse 20. And having made peace. The only way that peace can be made is through Jesus Christ. Now, people like to use Philippians chapter 4, and they say, and the peace of God will pass understanding. And there's an application to that, the application being you can have peace in God, but the interpretation of that verse is the peace that passes all understanding is you being able to stand before God.
Amen.
With no sin.
Amen.
That is a peace that passes the understanding of the world. It passes the understanding of world religions. It certainly passes the understanding of the apostate teachers in the world. Why? Because they deny that a person is saved by grace, and they deny that once a person is saved, they are saved forever. Now, you've heard all this if you've been coming to Calvary Community Church. You understand this, but there are people that you know that don't get it. They may be saved, but they lack any assurance because the devil creeps in and plants these seeds of doubt. Can you really know you have eternal life? What about this? And what about that? And what about this? Friend, it's all paid, but you need Bible verses to support that. Amen. Here's what it says. Having made peace, mark this if you are marking your Bible today or if you're taking notes, through the blood of his cross. Listen, taking the blood out is taking out the power. Okay? When we do not speak about the blood of Christ, when we try to mute it because it's 2021 and we don't want to be offensive, You have to include the blood.
Amen.
If he did not shed his blood, there is no remission for sin. For the sake of time, I'm going to read these verses to you, but make note of them. Hebrews 9:22. We say this every Sunday morning. We're going to look at a couple of verses that we say every morning in our confession of faith. But Hebrews 9:22 says this, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And here's the focus. And without shedding of blood is no remission. This is a callback to Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 11, which is the next reference I'd like you to take note of. For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement, to make a covering for your souls. But that verse continues to say, for it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. It is the blood that maketh an atonement. When Jesus Christ shed his blood, it was a fulfillment of all of those Old Testament illustrations, year after year, where the high priest would have to go and make an atonement for the sins of the people. But he'd have to go the year after that, and the year after that, and the year after that, continually, because those sacrifices never made anybody perfect. I don't know why people teach that. You say, Jesse, no, they don't teach that. They sure do. There are people that like to separate salvation to such a degree to say everything before Jesus was by works. You need to read Romans 4. Abraham believed and it was counted unto him for righteousness. There was no need to do those sacrifices in order for people to have their works show that they were saved. It was a picture of the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ, who shed his what, church? His blood for the remission of what? Your sins, the sins of the entire world. But continue on here. Through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile. This is a million-dollar word, and I want you to see it and understand it. Circle it. To reconcile all things unto himself. The word reconcile means to remove that which is in the way. So you have God, you have the sinner. What is standing in between those two individuals? Sin. God is a holy and just God. That sin must be paid. Now listen, you need to catch this because people don't catch this. Reconciliation is removing that which is in the way. Okay, so here's God. There's the sinner. There's the sin. Read this verse. By him to reconcile, to remove that which was in the way, all things unto himself. Look up here. Here's God. Here's that sinner. The sin is gone. So now there can be a union. There can be a reconciliation. And it lasts forever. There would have to be sin put back in between God and the believer. which is nowhere in the scripture. Understand here, verse 21, and you that were sometime alienated, you were set up, you were not a part of this. There's a modern day teaching that says, well, we're all God's children. You see it in self-help guru stuff. It's floating around on your Facebook feed. It's coming into your emails. It's in books that you buy and you read, and you see somebody say that phrase, and it's not true. It's not true. We are all God's creation. We are not all God's children. Well, Jesse, that's just semantics. No, it's not. Because listen, friend, if we were all children of God and there were people that were going to hell that also fit into that category, the Bible has a huge contradiction. The very teaching of a family, of adoption, how we have been adopted, is to highlight that you are a child of God now, and that cannot change.
Amen.
It's a position where you will always stand. To blow it aside and say, no, well, it's just semantics, it's not. It's craftiness of the devil. When you research how the devil deceived Eve in the garden, subtle, there was no parade. There was no big hoopla. It was just, this is how it started. Hath God really said? Oh, no. He doesn't mean that. He means you'll be like him. He doesn't want you to be like him, knowing between good and evil. Ate it right up. Here we are. It's subtle. And that's why I like, as your pastor, that's why I want to let the scripture speak for itself. Because these are great promises, great guarantees. Either this is true or it's not. And if it's not, we all better just leave and start working on ourselves. And it's really a fruitless cause because you've got to be perfect. Continue on here. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he what? Reconciled. There's that word again. There's been a union because you've believed on Christ. You're now a part of God's family. There's nothing standing in the way. You're given the righteousness of God, which we'll look at in a minute here. But look in verse 22. You've been reconciled. If we just skip the verse lining there, right, and read this straight through. Yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh. This goes against the teaching that Jesus Christ didn't rise physically from the dead. When he came back, it was a body. As Hebrews says, a body hast thou prepared for me. Why is this important to eternal life? Because if he didn't rise back from the dead, he was just like you and me with his own sin to pay for. People are struggling with assurance and not realizing the power here in these verses. Either these are true or they're not. In the body of his flesh, through death, to present you. Now look, these things are about you. Holy. Unblameable. Listen to that. Unblameable. Without blame. But Jesse, you don't know how bad I am. I don't need to know how bad you are because I know how good Christ was and is. He was sufficient.
Amen.
Now, this is not a license to sin. Listen, if you're living in sin and you're living an undisciplined life, the chastening of God is upon your life. And you need to know that. But do not deceive yourself in thinking that somehow blame will be assigned to you again for sin. It's removed. You know what that does for a person? I think it helps motivate them to live right, because that's an excellent guarantee. Can you imagine if your mortgage was like that? Just think for a second. Here you are, you bought a house for $150,000. And you just stop making payments. Or you send in what you can, like a dollar, right? What mortgage company is going to go, okay, no problem, right? It's all good. And you're just, maybe, let's say you're renting a house and you trash it and it's really bad and you're not paying the mortgage and you're not taking care of it. What's going to happen? You're going to get evicted. You're going to lose that house. God doesn't do that with us. But you know what? It's spitting on his son to live a life of sin, knowing what we have in our eternal life. But it's an excellent promise here. Unblameable. But wait, there's more. Look at what it says at the end of verse 22. And unreprovable in his sight. Beautiful guarantee. And there's a call to continue in the faith, grounded and settled. Why is there a call to continue? Because of the goodness and the reconciliation that has been committed unto you and me through Jesus Christ. Through his shed blood, through his death, through his burial, and his resurrection. It really is that good. It really is that permanent. Hold your place here and go to Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. We're going to look at verses 4, 5, and 6. This is on page 1295. These are no-no verses for many preachers. The only reason why they're no-no verses for many preachers is because they don't understand eternal security. People look at this and they say, this is the part of the Bible that we keep in the dark. We don't want people to see these because this is hard and difficult to understand. And I'm not touting my own knowledge and ability here. I'm only touting the completeness of salvation in Christ.
Amen.
We can understand these verses by understanding what has been given to us in our salvation. Boy, I bet you can't wait to read them. Some of you have already read them. Hebrews chapter 6, look in verses 4 through 6. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Now stop here for a second. I can't get into all the details on this because we're going to talk a little bit about it tonight when we start our Hebrews series. But when you see that word, enlightened, tasted, partakers, this has to be referring to a person that has put their trust in Jesus Christ. Listen, because in Hebrews chapter 2, it says that Jesus Christ tasted death for every man. We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 that we are illuminated by the Holy Spirit to help us understand Scripture. The only way that you receive illumination from the Holy Spirit is to have the sealing of the Holy Spirit, which only comes when you put your faith in Jesus Christ. So in order for this verse to ring true, we're talking about saved people. Now there is a word here that is used in the top of verse 4 that is there to describe the condition of the saved person. Look what it says. Impossible. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened, tasted of the heavenly gift, made partakers of the Holy Ghost, verse 5, and have, there's that word, tasted again. I didn't finish that thought, but did Jesus swoon on the cross? Or did he die? He died. So tasting is to partake. And have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come. Verse 6, warning. Here it is. You ready? If they shall fall away. This is for the person that struggles with religious OCD. This is, you want to talk about a real pandemic? People's minds. What happens in here? I wrote a post not too long ago that Facebook decided to flag because I used the word shot and virus. Crazy. But in the post, I didn't give any position either way. I said, you know what people are afraid of? Dying. You don't want to die. People don't want to die. I don't blame you. But guess what? If I died today, I know where I'm going.
Amen.
Because I know whom I have believed in. So therefore, where's the sting of death? Where's the victory of the grave? Jesus took it all. Paid for it all. If you have that kind of assurance, you can, whether it's COVID-19 or a heart attack or a car wreck, you know where you're going. Amen?
Amen.
You got to live in that truth. If you don't, you're going to be afraid of everything. Now, for some reason, when people hear us say that, they think that we are just so unhealthy, you know? Like we're licking the floors at Publix. And we're inviting people to cough in our faces. No, that's not what I'm saying either. What I'm saying is, you don't have to fear what will happen to you if you know where you're going. But this verse says right here, if they shall fall away, if you're living in sin, back to that religious OCD thought, this is, like I said, an epidemic of people's minds. I have heard people say I have religious OCD, and they tell me this, oh, well, Martin Luther struggled with it. Well, la-ti-da. It can be solved. And I'm not saying it's not a legitimate problem, but it's actually letting thoughts rule in your life. Is there anything that can separate you from the love of God once you put your trust in His Son? Then why do you believe that there is something? I'm sorry. You got to address your thoughts with truth. Your feelings are misleading. My feelings are misleading. I may wake up one day and feel great, and the next day feel terrible, and they have no bearing on my eternal life. Why then would I invite those thoughts and feelings to now inform my position in Christ? Because this verse says, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. Yikes. Yikes. What does that mean? That means once you've tasted, once you've partaken, once you have that sealing of the Holy Spirit, it can't happen again.
Amen.
It can't happen again. It says it's impossible for you to have a change of mind again. You can't be renewed unto repentance because you're eternally placed in Christ. Look at what this says. Seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. This condemns the teachings of the Catholic Church, which says sacraments, confession is what gets you to heaven. Well, there's your mortal sins. Those are the real bad ones, the ones that the priests commit. Excuse me. Then there's the venial sins, the little ones, you know. And you got to go to a priest who is a man just like you. I'm going to go on a rant here for a second. He has no spiritual power to forgive your sin. But we sit in that little booth and we tell him all of our dirty laundry. And he somehow forgives us for that day like we're getting a day pass. That's a heresy. Why? Because Christ went to the cross and shed his blood to pay for that mortal, venial, whatever it may be. And the only sacraments and ordinances that you and I are commanded to keep is the remembrance of his death in communion and believer's baptism, which is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection in Christ that was sufficient to save a soul. Going on in confession and the keeping up of good works is a deception. It's a deception. And it says here, it's impossible to renew them again. It can't be done. Why are we trying to do it? Why are we trying to sit here and say, but Pastor Jesse, what about this? Paid. But paid. Can you imagine if we all went out to eat and I took all of you out to eat? First of all, this would be my last Sunday. Okay? We all went down here to the best restaurant, right? And you all got the most expensive item, everything. And the check never came, right? And somebody says, where's the check? Oh, it's been paid. How many of you are going to get out your card or get out your wallet and say, all right, well, I want to pay my portion. Hello? Hello? Paid. There's no bill left to pay. At that point, it'd just be a donation, which... you want to do that, see me. You know what I'm saying? I just footed the bill. Guys, it's either all paid or it's not paid at all.
Amen.
I want you to understand this. And not just, well, they say that all the time. I want to show you in the scripture what it says. And if we do live that way, the logic, look at verse 6, would be to crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him in open shame. If we say there is a sin that can remove us outside of the body of Christ, then he'd have to come back down here and get back up on that cross and pay for it. It's exactly what this says. Afresh. I don't know why those are no-no verses. I don't know why those are difficult to understand, and I'm not poking fun at those who have not yet learned it. But there are preachers who won't preach this because they don't believe that Jesus saves. They believe there's got to be something else that you do. I have heard blasphemous things about what preachers believe. There are some people believe that if you don't understand a verse out of the King James Version, then you're born of the incorruptible seed. That's a heresy. That's not what that verse means. But it's in churches today. Oh, it's rolling around in churches today. A person has to simply believe on who? Jesus Christ. The incorruptible seed is belief on him. The corruptible seed is what you see standing before you right now, dressed all pretty and nice. That's the corruptible seed. If I'm dependent on this to get to heaven, I'm not going. I'm all dressed up to go to hell if I'm depending on myself.
Amen.
Look now, hold your place there in Colossians. Look there in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Still talking about this idea of we've been reconciled to him by Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. As the scripture calls it, his passion. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look there in verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, and Mr. Gilbert read this, who first trusted in Christ, and we'll look at Ephesians 1:13 later on today, but this is saying, if any man be in Christ, and the only way you can be in Christ is by believing on his Son, believing on him, look what it says. He is a new creature. Whoop, you hear that? Ooh, it's the Arminian. And the Calvinist is with him. And they say, do you not know that what this means is the new nature is put into the body, and if you have any sin, well, then the new nature was never there. What? What? The Bible believer says that's not what this verse says. It is not what it says. Look at what it actually says. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. What are those old things? That corruptible seed that you got. That sin payment that was the wrath of God abideth upon him. John 3:36. Oh, that wrath is gone. Why? You're a new creature.
Amen.
Look, Nicodemus didn't get this. He's a teacher and a ruler in Israel. Didn't get it. But look what it says here. Behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God. Stop, 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 stop. When this verse says, verse 17, all things are become new, and it says there in verse 18, all things are of God, I know exactly where we need to go with this. The new nature is all things, and that all things is of God. It's not your works. It's not your church attendance. Even if you do have thoughts that are wicked and uncontrollable, those things are not a part of your new nature. What happens when I tell you, don't think of a pink elephant? I told you not to do that. How many of you are thinking of a pink elephant? Its shape, its size, why it's pink, why I just said that, what's for dinner later? Just kidding. Some people think, well, if I just tell myself, don't think those things, I won't think them. Surprise, you have a nature that is totally in rebellion. But those thoughts, no matter how uncontrollable they are, you can choose to hold them captive by truth and then dismiss them. You don't have to let them make a nest up there. I don't have to worry about birds making a nest in my head. Anyway. Continue here in verse 18. And all things are of God, who hath, we've seen that word, reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. When I get those emails, my job, I don't have to, no board of this church has to tell me what my job is. No pastor of any ministry has to say, Jesse, before you do anything, you need to understand your calling, you need to understand your purpose. It's given to me right here, the ministry of reconciliation, the speaking of the death, burial, and resurrection, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. That's my job.
Amen.
That's your job. That's our job to share that. Look what it says. Hath given us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. But, no. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. This is great stuff. You can't make this up. And have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. I didn't necessarily watch the Olympics this year. I don't know. It was just meh, you know? Wasn't interested. We'll leave that right there. But one of the things I like about the Olympics is that opening ceremony, when it's not weird stuff going on, but when all the countries are coming in and they get to represent their country and they're excited. And they can't wait to compete for the next 2 or 3 weeks. I don't know why. That's just cool to me. It's just interesting to see that. And the reason why it's cool and interesting to me is, man, wouldn't it be cool if there was somehow, and this would never happen in today's world, there was a country that represented the body of Christ? Woo-hoo. I know that's like super spiritual. But just think of that for a second. How massive that would be. What a great body of believers that would be. What we would represent. Guys, it's not a fantasy. You are an ambassador. Looking for work? Put that on your resume. Served as an ambassador. Whoa, really? You might have to explain yourself, which would be a ministry of reconciliation. Yikes. Here we go. Verse 20. And now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as through God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's deed, be reconciled to God. Here's the verse I want to really camp on. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, either that's true or it's not. If you have believed, if you have put your trust in Jesus Christ, then you have the righteousness of God. I had a guy on the phone one time and say, wait, but it says might. Okay. What about verse 17? What about all of Romans 5, for example? If people don't believe it, they're going to find a way. They're going to find a way to justify, well, I just don't really know. Yeah, you can know. Yes, you can know. Go back to Colossians. You can let those passages go. Colossians chapter 2 now, in verses 6 through 15. Page 1263, the same page if you're in a Scofield Bible. Now, setting up in chapter 1, talking about our eternal security, talking about the work that was done through the shed blood of Jesus Christ when a person believes, positioning everybody. Okay, are we all positioned now? Are we all in the body of Christ if you put your trust in Jesus? Yes. Okay. Verse 6. As ye therefore received Christ the Lord, walk ye in him. There's work to do. Listen, somebody had to take this verse seriously in order for you to be reached. Hello, are you listening? Somebody had to say, because I have eternal life, I will go out and I will share the gospel. For many of you, it was Dr. Hank Lindstrom, who was in a secular university. The gospel got a hold of him and he said, there's something better to do. There's something better to do. And he served in this church for 40 plus years. Do you realize how rare that is? Get plugged into a United Methodist Church and you're on a revolving door. You're probably there for 3 to 5 years at the most. And then get a new guy in here. This guy. No, get him out of here. This church has been around, I think, 50 plus years. It's had 3 pastors. What? And one of them served for over half, 70% of the time this church has been in existence. Dr. Hank Lindstrom walked. He put one foot in front of the other with his faith and moved with it. Somebody had to do that to reach you. Do you realize that? You didn't just wake up one day and go, oh, yes, I will believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Calvinist says that's how that works. Newsflash, it's not. Someone has to reach you through word or through writing or whatever it may be. Maybe through a park bench. Wouldn't that be exciting? We're all in heaven, you know? Someone decides, let's all share how we trusted in Christ. And it's like, well, there's that park bench on Memorial Avenue. And I'll be way in the back and be like, oh, hey, that was us. We did that. Isn't that cool? What's up, man? And I'll give him a high five and we won't miss. because we're perfect. No. Boom. Look at what it says here. So walk ye in him. Look at these strong words here. We just looked at the word reconciled, alienated, reconciled in the unblameable, holy, unreprovable. Look at this strong language here. Rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. This idea of abounding is moving forward at a great speed. Well, time out. You got to have 10 years of service to really know that. No, you don't. Did Jesus look at the woman in the well when she turned around to tell everybody else and say, wait. You got to take personal evangelism first. No, she understood it. She went out and she shared the message. The disciples are coming back like, you have meat? Where? We don't see any food. Jesus is saying the fields are white, already to harvest. When grain is white like that, it's almost spoiled. You want the golden stuff. Boy, the fields are white, already to harvest right now. I was telling the kids on Thursday night, you do not realize how close we are. Milliseconds, I feel. But it says here, to abound in thanksgiving, beware. There's a warning here. Lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit. Here comes the psychologist, right? The Christian psychologist that says, oh, religious OCD? That's a serious problem. You need to really address that. You have a problem that may need to be solved with medication, or it may need to be solved with psychotherapy. Beware, lest any man spoil you through these little shenanigans of the world. I'm not saying Christian counseling is bad, but unfortunately, a majority of Christian counselors are not even Christian themselves. They don't understand the gospel. Look what it says here. And vain deceit. It's a deceit that is selfish. You want to read about vain deceit? Read Jude tonight. Tell you about apostate teachers there. Vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. I didn't write that. I didn't edit that for my message this morning. That's been there. What a great promise. Verse 9. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him. You're complete. Can you imagine mowing a huge yard, right? And leaving one strip down the middle? Oh, no. Don't do that. Please don't do that. Look, when I was a kid, that's how I first started earning money, right? And it was all the time. I would always leave a little strip of grass somewhere. In the eyes of my father, the job is not complete. I'd have to go back out there. I mean, can you imagine? And actually complete the work I started. Boy, I wish I was a kid now. You know, there are games. I want you to understand this. There are games that people can play that simulate pressure washing and cutting grass. Not even kidding you. And the people are like, this is amazing. And I'm like, you could actually go do this like in real life and make money and like see the results. Oh, but this. Wow. But if you do a job and it's not complete, it's not complete. Look, when Christ did a work in you, he finished it. It was completed. Regardless of how you feel or what you've done since then. Look what that verse says. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. That's a callback to chapter 1. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism. Oh, you hear that? It's the Catholic. Ooh, we know about this. I went to a christening one time where beautiful little baby, okay? And they had the little pool, the little bird bath with the salted water. And the priest put his hand in there and he just, you know, sprinkle that baby. Wow. Now, let me tell you something. You know what they say before that, though? They all just don't come in and the priest is like, give me the baby and all that. No, they have a little message before where they say, this sprinkling seals them. They missed it. 1 Peter 3 talks about not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, not just being simply immersed in the water is what saves you. It's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the placing of the person into the body of Christ. Don't believe me? Let's look at it. Galatians chapter 3. Hold your place there in Colossians. Galatians chapter 3. This is another verse that we read every week. Galatians 3, look there in verses 26 and 27. For, this is page 1245. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. There's a limiting there. You are children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in who? Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, singular, hello, and heirs according to the what? The promise. Did God say he was going to do it? Yes. Has he done it? Yes. We're complete. Look in Ephesians 1. Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 13. One of my favorite verses. I used to not like this verse because it was the one verse that I would always leave blank on my memory list for summer camp. Because I am a simple man. And some of this language is a little hard for me. But boy, I know this verse now because it's a great guarantee. It's also a clear pattern of our baptism into the Holy Spirit, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed. So hold on. Guess who's knocking this time? The Calvinist. Regeneration is first. God chooses you. He seals you with the Holy Spirit. And then you have no choice through irresistible grace to believe. That's not what this verse says. Look what it says. In whom also after that ye believed. What happens next? Ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Baptized, as 1 Corinthians 12, 13 tells us, we've been baptized into one body, Christ's body. So you know at the moment of belief, you've been baptized into the faith. So then what's the point of water baptism? And we've gone over this at length. To show what you have believed.
Amen.
We're going to close here in Colossians chapter 2 as we finish up. Colossians 2:12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him. Listen, y'all, Jesus came back. You did too. And when you had your resurrection, it was with a new nature. And it's permanent. He's the picture of our salvation. Ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, made alive, together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. I get excited about this. Verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances, which was against us. Now, this might not be good Bible, but this is good illustration. You ever used Microsoft Word? If you press Control and the 5 key, you can use the strike through feature, okay? And it's real nice, right? It like strikes through the word, but you can still see it. Boy, when I see the word blotting, I see an entire thing of ink thrown on that page so I can't even see what was written there before. When I see that word blotting, it is a heavy removal, an entire scrub of our sins. And what has been blotted out? The handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Do not be the Christian that puts yourself back into misery, which you are not in. Your salvation has been completed. It's been paid. It's been blotted out. Who can stand and say, but this and this and that? No one. Which was contrary to us and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Beautiful words there. They were literally nailed to him. I watched a video recently of an officer at a traffic stop. And you, by the way, our police officers, they put their lives in danger every day. And it's amazing to see a little Ford Ranger like mine. It's a little bit bigger because it has an extended cab. But they roll down the window, and they're talking to this guy, and you hear somebody off on the side say, "Where's the gun?" You know, it's about to get real. Well, the guy in the passenger seat pulls out his weapon and shoots the police officer. Okay, he had a quick draw, and he moved back, but in his position, he was like this, and his hand got shot. And you could see in his dash cam or his body cam a hole through his index finger on his shooting hand. Okay, and he was fumbling for the gun, and the magazine was ejected in the exchange. But well, he got it, and both those guys took the room temperature test, and they died. I can't help. I was watching that this morning. Think about the holes that will be in my Savior's hand forever.
Amen.
That is the only remembrance of our sin, if we can say that. It's gone. It's gone. Now, either this is true or it's not. Either you're saved forever or you're not saved at all. He didn't do you any favors if you had to persevere until the end.
Amen.
Verse 15. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. He's not sheepishly going, yes, I've paid for sin. No, he triumphs in it. He will rule and reign because of it. 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Oh, well, if you're really saved, you'll do X, Y, and Z. No, if you're really disciplined, you'll do X, Y, and Z. A disciplined life is evidence of a person that says, I want to give back. A disciplined life is evidence of someone who says, I will be disciplined in my walk. And not everybody's like that. But the devil creeps into people's minds, and you would be amazed. Like I said, I wish I could read you some of these emails. They're heartbreaking, but I also have great confidence in the scripture. Because of the completion of what Christ did on the cross, I can write that email back with 100% confidence in saying, there is nothing that can separate you once you have been reconciled.
Amen.
And you know what's wicked? People start asking this question, did I really believe? Ugh. Did I really believe? Did I believe hard enough? Did I believe good enough? What? Come on, man. Don't do that to yourself. Don't do that to yourself. Do not rest on your feelings. How many of you have done stupid things because you feel a certain way? Well, I'm glad some of y'all raised your hand. That's cool. I was about to say, you don't have to raise your hand. Wow, look at y'all. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. Our feelings do not determine the facts. I know Ben Shapiro says that, but he says it because it's true. If you read your feelings into this book, you will not have assurance. Let this book inform your feelings,
Amen.
Whether they're true or whether they're false. Look up here. This hand represents you and me. My wallet represents sin. I'm going to put this on top of my hand because the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says the wages of sin is death. It's not a turning over of a new leaf. It's not starting something. It's not changing the appearance of your sin. Somebody put a dollar in here. Well, yikes. I'm going to lock this pulpit down. I'm just kidding. I was genuinely surprised. I was like, it's not any whoop. You cannot pay for your sin. If you did pay for your sin, it would be death, eternal separation from God forever in a place called hell. You have to be perfect to get to heaven. No sin at all. Perfect. And some people really think my good works are going to be enough. Since the dollar's here, we might as well use it. People say, well, I will give this amount or that amount to pay for my sin. And it's You can't do it. It's like paying for your meal later with Monopoly money. It's not going to happen. But to understand this, guys, people do not get that you have to be perfect. They make their version of perfect as good as they are, and they compare themselves with someone else who's not as good. Listen, the wages of sin is death. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. This hand is going to represent Jesus Christ. He was perfect, fully God, fully man. He came down and lived that perfect life, and he did what you and I could never do. He took all that sin, your sin, the person next to you, all the sin of the entire world, laid it upon himself and paid for it. He died, he was buried, and he rose again 3 days later. Now look, I believe that all sin is paid for. I do not believe that everyone is saved. The reason why is because even though the sin has been removed, the responsibility remains on the individual to believe Christ. Believe that he died on the cross for their sins and rose again. Once they believe on that, they receive, and you have a proof text for this, 2 Corinthians 5:21. That we might be made the righteousness of God in him. When does that occur? At the moment of belief.
Amen.
So now, for God so loved the world, that's you and me, that he gave his only begotten son, that's Jesus Christ, that whosoever, again, you and me, watch here, believeth in him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, but what about everlasting life? But how about everlasting life? You don't know that. Everlasting life.
Amen.
Boy, he sounds repetitive. Just saying what the scripture says.
Amen.
Now that you have assurance of your salvation, put one foot in front of the other. Walk in him. Learn. Grow. Experience the joy of your salvation while you are here on the earth. You know, there's going to be a day where you and I can look at each other in new resurrected bodies, and I'm going to know who you are, and you're going to probably remember me. And we're going to be able to be in heaven forever. Forever and ever and ever and ever. In a new heaven and in a new earth. Sin will be a thing of the past. We'll have fellowship with the Lord. All of you will be able to sing and sing well. Boy, as a choir director, I like that. That's a amen. But isn't it great to know that that's coming? Don't forget, though, there's people that won't be there. And the time that you have now can make an eternal difference. But if you don't have assurance, you're not going to speak on your faith. You won't do it. Get that assurance and get to work. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heads are bowed, please, and eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around. If you're here today and you have not believed on Jesus Christ, his death, burial, and resurrection for the payment of your sin, I encourage you to do so right now. You don't have to pray a prayer that saves you. You do not have to turn from any sin or make a promise to God in order to receive eternal life. All you have to do is believe on the finished work of Jesus Christ. And the moment, and I mean the moment you do that, you're sealed. It's done. So is there anyone today, by an uplifted hand, that would say, Pastor Jesse, today I put my trust in Jesus Christ. Would you pray for me? Anyone at all before we close? Heads are bowed and eyes are still closed. Listen, this message you may not have thought was for you, but it is. We need to be reminded of the truth that is in our Bibles. I hope this has encouraged you to continue reading and studying your Bibles. To pursue people that do not understand the assurance of their salvation. To give them that assurance from the Scripture. And maybe you're here today and you've been struggling with assurance. You've been struggling with uncontrollable thoughts. Listen. Rest in the Scripture. Know it. Study it. Recite it. Memorize it. You'll see great blessings in your life. Father, thank you for another opportunity to study this morning. Bring us back here safely. Pray any bad weather be kept away. Lord, we pray for our website too. And I don't think that's a silly thing. I pray that many people will find it, and in there they'll find the truth. I pray for our missions conference. I pray for the people who are here in this room, who you love dearly. Bring us back here safely this evening, and thank you for technology that allows people to hear this around the world. In Jesus' name we pray.